Into the Light Ministries is proud to present Your Alarm Call with Reverend Ron Bernier. Now we ask you to sit back and open your mind and your spirit to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and my name is David Bernier. I am the Associate Senior Pastor of Into the Light Ministries. Now, on behalf of myself and Into the Light Ministries, we would like to present the Alarm Call with Pastor Reverend Ron Bernier.
It's good to be in the house of God. It's good to be with you again tonight. And I thank God that I can be here tonight, and I thank God that you're here with me tonight. Before we start tonight, I just want to do a short prayer, because what I have to say tonight is so very, very important. And I'm sure you've heard most of it before, and I'm also sure that you've missed most of it before. So I'm going to say a short prayer, and I ask you to pray with me, unless you're driving or something like that. But I ask you to pray with me that God would give you an ear to hear and an eye to see, and that you would understand what the Lord is saying to you through this message. Father, we come before you right now. Holy Father, we come in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father God, I stand here tonight for no purpose of my own, not that anybody can see me or know me, but Father God, I come that I might deliver the words of your Son, Jesus, that he might be lifted up and that he might draw all men unto himself. Father God, I ask you to anoint the words that I speak as they go forth. And Father, I ask that you would give those that are listening an ear to hear, that they might understand the word that you are speaking to them. For your word says that all these things were done as an example unto us that we would learn from them. And Father, we will give you all of the praise and the glory and the honor in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Now, as I said, I pray that each one of you would hear what God has to say to you. This is an absolute fresh word from God. I had a different message altogether picked out. There was something else I was going to minister on today, and as I was getting ready to do that, God kept giving me this one over and over and over again. I'm a little slow, but finally I figured it out, that this is what God wanted ministered today and not what I had planned. And that's fine with me. I couldn't care less. Many times I've had the Lord switch messages on me, even as I've got up and got behind the pulpit. At the last minute, he'll switch a message. And that's good, because it doesn't give me any time to mess it up. It doesn't give me any time to put anything of my own in there. Just what God wanted to say. Now, for those of you who have your Bibles, and I hope by this time you've learned to have a Bible, as I've shared with you so many times, we're not here to entertain you, we're here to teach you. You want entertainment, flip the channel. I'm sure wrestling's on someplace, or some other ludicrous show, Three's Company or something like that. But if you want to learn the Word of God, you're only going to learn it by reading God's Word. Now, and it's not just the verses that I give you, but rather, and I've shared this before, don't believe me, don't believe anybody else, don't believe any man, don't believe any woman, believe God. For this and this alone is truth. This is the Word of God. This is truth. Read the verse before and the verse after. Make sure I didn't take it out of context. Make sure it's a theme throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, that it's true, that you can stand on it, that you know that which the Lord is speaking to you. And that's why you have to have your Bibles. I mean, it's just, I cannot understand people that go to church or watch a ministry on television and they don't have a Bible to check it off. I don't understand that. If nothing else, take a paper and pencil, at least write the scriptures down, and then later on when you have time, when you're having your morning coffee or whatever, sit down, open the Word of God, and read those scriptures. And sometimes that's better, because that'll give two opportunities for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. But I want to share with you a story this morning out of the Gospel of John, beginning in chapter 4. And it is the woman at the well. Now, many of you have heard this before, but I'd like you, for the sake of ministry, to just kind of put that, whatever you've heard, out of your mind and listen to it afresh and anew, that God may speak to you today about it. In chapter 4, and beginning at verse 1, because I want to read the whole context to you that you understand what's taking place here. The Word of God said, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and he departed again unto Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria." Verse 4, I want to read it to you again because some of you don't understand it. "And he must needs go through Samaria," is the way the King James words it. And what it means is this: he did not have to go through Samaria. In fact, that was a longer way. He went the long way to go through Samaria. And he was going there for a very specific reason. Because Jesus knew that there were needs in Samaria that needed to be met. So he went out of his way. He went the long way. He purposed to go through Samaria. That's what it means. He purposed to go there. That wasn't accidental. He knew where he was going. Verse 5. "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave unto his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria." Now, the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans, nothing at all. They didn't talk to them, didn't acknowledge them, nothing. And we need to understand that context here. "Then cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus," where was I now? Okay, "Jesus say unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. And then say the woman of Samaria unto him, howbeit that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Now, the reason for that was the Samaritans, they had their religion I won't go into the whole thing other than to say it was just way off base. It had a lot of statues. It had a lot of relics and different things to worship. There's some churches like that around today. I'm sure you can think of them. But the Jews knew that that was wrong. They knew that there was but one God and that you didn't worship these ridiculous statues. So they had nothing to do with them. And for that reason, they didn't talk to him, they didn't fellowship with him, nothing. In verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God," if thou knewest. You understand that multitudes of millions do not know the gift of God? I've shared this with you before, but I was 35 years old before I ever stumbled into a church. And I do mean stumbled. And in that church, there was a man preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wasn't taking an offering. He wasn't setting up a church bingo party. He wasn't doing any of those silly things. He was actually preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was the first time in my life I had ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he was talking about how Jesus could set you free, could be the Lord of your life, could take care of everything in your life. Now, I was evil, but I wasn't stupid. And after the service ended, and they said, anybody who wants to come up and pray and ask Jesus to come into their life, they're welcome to do so. And we'll be up here to pray with you. Well, like I say, I wasn't totally stupid. So I went forward and knelt down and prayed and asked Jesus. I said, if you're out there, because I wasn't quite sure. If you're out there, I'm asking you to come into my life, to do something in my life. Needless to say, that was 35 years ago Jesus came in. And he took care of every single problem I had. I'm not going to give my testimony today. I'm not going to go into that. But the important part is that if we go to those who do not know and we tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ, the greatest majority of them, they're not stupid either. Some of them are, but most of them aren't. And if we share that with them, they will be more than willing to accept that which we have to offer. But Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me. No, I'm sorry, let me back up. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto me, give me to drink, because she had no idea who Jesus was, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Living water. Talking here about salvation through the Holy Spirit. And the woman saith unto him, sir, how hast thou nothing to draw with, and the well is deep from whence thou hast this living water? In other words, where are you going to get this? I don't understand that. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst again. Or whosoever shall drink of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in a well of water springing up into eternal life. We are speaking today about eternity, time without end, something that God did not even create our minds to fully be able to grasp, time without end. And the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here hither to draw. She still didn't understand it. And Jesus saith unto her, go and call thy husband, and come hither, or come back. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and whom that thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou hast said truly. Jesus was telling her all about herself, things that there was no possible way he could have known. And she knew it. She knew there was no way he could have known this unless God himself told him. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Because she had asked him. And I got back up just for a moment. She said, our Father is worshipped in this mountain. And yet ye say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She thought it made a difference where you worship, the place you were in, the building you were in. I know a lot of people like that today. I can only do that in my church. It's only in my church. It's only in the church I go to. The church is nothing but a building. You look up the word church, it is the called out, the separated, the anointing, those that are called together by God. When you and I meet together on the street, if you're truly saved, we're having church. Right now, we're having church. We're sharing the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is church. We don't need the building. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell her. He says, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. For you worship what you know not. At least the Jews know what they worship, for salvation is of the Jews, because he was a Jew. But the hour cometh, and is now, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. In spirit and in truth. In other words, true worship combined with saving faith has nothing to do with statues or buildings or mountains. For now, Christ has come to bring the fullness of free salvation. You don't have to buy so-and-so's tapes for $800. Everything Jesus gave, he gave freely. And he said unto these preachers of today, freely you have received, now freely give. God is able to speak unto those he would have support him. The truth is in Christ, and it is received, please hear this, by his Spirit. For he said, the Holy Spirit will bring all things that are mine unto you. They are received by the Spirit, but they are received by the Spirit through faith. Through faith. It is only by faith. Remember the last thing Jesus said, when I come, will I find faith? And that is the worship, or that is the worship that the Father seeks. Also, you can look at 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. Now, even though the Samaritan religion was messed up in many, many ways, nonetheless, they did believe in the messianic aspect of the Jewish religion. They believed that there was a Messiah, and that the Messiah would come. That was a common opinion among the Samaritans. And they were familiar with the doctrine of the coming Messiah, and they were waiting for that to happen. But I want to get back up to verse 24. The Word of God said, God is a Spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. No one cometh unto the Father but through or by me. And in order to worship the Father, we have to worship him. We have to come there through Jesus. We must worship him in spirit. That means our spirit communing with his spirit, coming together into one spirit, because Jesus has brought us there. Anybody that doesn't fully understand the context of that, because it is so important. I know people that will say, I don't understand it. God never answers my prayers. I can guarantee you that God's word is absolutely true. You're doing something wrong. We have a little booklet called How to Pray. And if you want to, you can send for it. It's absolutely free, as is everything. Very, very small, very short. It's actually more of a tract than it is a book. But it will tell you what's wrong with your prayer life. And what you do is you take these list of things and you eliminate them one by one. And when they're all eliminated, that means your life is right with God. And then through faith, you can ask what you will, and it will be given unto you. Because that is the promise of God. Jesus cannot lie. I learned that a long time ago. I knew that if my prayers were not getting answered, there was a problem. And I also knew that problem was with me. And I had to change. You know, as I shared on eternity, that's a long, long time. A time we can't even begin to comprehend. I can kind of get a little bit of grasp, little teeny bit of grasp on eternity future, going on forever and ever and ever without having an end. But eternity past, without there ever being a beginning, God having always been there, never started, that is impossible for my mind to even get a grasp on it. I can't even start to grasp that. I've heard some people say they can, and when I've asked them to explain it to me, I found out they were really exaggerating. But as I say, if your prayers are not being answered, there's a reason for it. And God lists those reasons in Scripture. Just let me give you one very quickly. You and your wife, or you and your family, are at odds with one another. There is division in your household. There's arguments in your household. The Word of God says your prayers are hindered. To put that another way, it means they bounce off the ceiling and come right back to you. And you need to straighten out that problem you have there at home. You need to straighten out that problem with your wife or with your husband, whatever the case may be. Before your prayers are going to go anyplace, you're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself when you're not winning. I'm really going to make her sorry if she ever said this to me. You're not making her sorry. You're hurting yourself because your prayers are not being answered. Or a wife who said, I really got hurt when he said that. Boy, he said I was just, you know, a little too big for this dress. I gained too many pounds or a pound too much. And I'll show him. I won't talk to him for a month. I guarantee you God won't talk to you for a month either. So you need to get those areas of your life taken care of. And then your prayers will start going someplace. And let me give you just one more. I'm not going to go through the whole track right now, but let me give you one more. The Word of the Lord says if you are going to worship God, you're on your way. We'll just say you're on your way Sunday morning down to the church, and you've got your Bible with you and everything, your family's all with you, and you're on your way to church, and you pull in the parking lot there, and you're parking the car, and suddenly the Holy Spirit convicts you, because that's what it is. And you suddenly remember how badly you treated Brother Bill 3 weeks ago. I can't think of anything right offhand, but we'll just say you did something to him, borrowed some money and never paid him back or whatever. Whatever the case may be. You need to, God says, first, stop right there. God says, stop. Forget about going to church. Don't go in there. Go back to the one you have offended. Go back to him and get that right, because I will not hear your prayer. I won't listen to your prayer. When you come before the altar, God, and you read the actual Greek and Hebrew on it, God says, I'll plug my ears. I won't hear your prayer. I refuse to. Until you go back and get it straightened out with Susan or Billy or whatever the name is there, and God says, then, after you straighten that out, then come back and worship me, then you may bring forth your prayers of supplication, and God will answer them, providing these other things are right. And there are several of these little areas. I forget exactly how many there are right now, but there's several of these little areas, and if you get them all right, and it's not hard to get them right. Anybody can do it. You can do it in normally an hour. And then God will hear your prayers. And that which you pray for, you will receive. You have to believe it. I believe it as I pray for it. I don't believe it down the road after I have it. Any fool can believe that. I believe it as I pray for it. And you have to do that also. I didn't mean to get that far off into that. But like I say, if your prayers are not being answered, I don't care how long you've been in the Lord, 20, 40 years, your prayers are not being answered. That's the signpost. That's the way you realize where you're at. Send for the little booklet and read it and do it. Be not hearers, but be ye doers of the word, and you will find that your prayers are being answered because you've got the prerequisite right. Everybody wants the promises, but they don't want the prerequisites. Everybody wants the victory, but they don't want the battle. Everybody wants the mountaintops, but they don't want to climb the mountain. You see, there's a price that has to be paid. There's a prerequisite that you have to take care of. And when you do that, you will find that Jesus is right there and that he's going to answer the prayers that you have. Okay, because nothing that distresses me more than to speak to people and have them come up for prayer and find out that they have been praying for the same thing for a year and nothing has happened. And ask the same question, brother, how come God doesn't answer that when I pray? Or they'll call me a week later and they're all excited and they'll say, you know, God really answered that prayer. And most of the time, I can't understand what they're so excited about. Because if you really believe that's the time you made the prayer, that's the time to be excited. If you absolutely, positively believed it, you wouldn't be so surprised when it was made manifest. You'd be filled with thanksgiving, praises unto God, yes. But not surprised that God answered it. God is truthful. God is glorified when you bear much fruit. God wants to answer your prayers. He's not some stingy, tight old dude sitting up there on a throne in heaven and watching down there and say, oh, you got a penny too much, or I don't want you to have a nice car. I want you to have an old piece of junk. That's not God. That's not the way he is. He's given us in his word the exact plan. I had no intention of getting off this far in prayer this morning, but I really feel the Holy Spirit leading me to minister on prayer, that you learn how to pray. And if you do these things that God wants you to do, your prayers will be answered. And not only for you, but for others. And I'm concerned because there's many of you out there, I hope, that are praying for me and for my ministry and for this word to go out over the airways in the crusades we have throughout the world, that the people will hear the word of God. And I'm asking you to just send for the booklet, will you? It's free. We'll send it to you. God will hear the prayers. He will answer them. And we will see the body of Christ grow and be healed. And I just bless the Lord and I thank you in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to tune in again next time for the alarm call. Remember, if you would like to contact us for prayer requests, or if you just need someone to talk to, you can reach us on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also send us traditional mail at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Please have a wonderful day, and may God be with you in all that you do.